I want to read a lesson from the second chapter of Titus. Maybe I'll read the most of the chapter. Short chapter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That's all the second chapter of Titus. He mentions here that the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, I don't believe that that necessarily refers to all men numerically. There are some people, and maybe many of them in the world today, that haven't heard the gospel of Christ, and that the grace of God hath not appeared to in that way. But I interpret this statement as applying to all classes of people. Old, young, men, women, servants, masters, husbands, wives, parents, children, all classes of people. That it has applied to all, it has appeared to all, and it applies to all classes and individuals in whatever category they may be found. It admonishes sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now that's what I pray for myself and for my ministering brethren, is that we all speak sound doctrine. And we speak things that are solid. And put forth things that if people will obey what we preach to them, they'll not get into any trouble. And they'll come out all right in the end. My father used to say that he always endeavored to preach to people in such a way that if they would accept his preaching and live by the things that he taught, that if it were possible, he would be willing to stand good for their souls in the day of judgment. I feel that's the attitude all ministers should have. And that we should be diligent in putting out the things that are sound. And that's what I want to do by the help of the Lord and by your prayers, is to speak things that are sound and that are wholesome and that are edifying, and that it'll be safe for you to follow. When we concluded the little message last Sunday afternoon, we were dealing with the thought of soberness, being sober. And at the particular time that we closed the message, it was on the thought of temperate. That is one of the meanings of sober, to be temperate. We dealt mostly with the thought of being temperate in the handling of our material means, not going into debt, the consequences of going into debt, especially among young married people. And I believe it's good for me. I'm an old married people too, but I believe it's good for me,
yes, amen,
to not go into debt.
That's right.
And I believe I have some scripture along that line. God's word said, "Owe no man anything." And I endeavor to live that way and to go on that basis. However, there are exceptions, and those things were mentioned in the matter of obtaining a home. Very few people have the cash plunked down for a home. And if they didn't go in debt for a home, most of us would never get one. And it's the same with a car, and a car is pretty much of a necessity in our day. And not many of us have the cash plunked down for a car either. So there are some things in that, but now I would add this little thought to what was already said, that I would think it very good policy for you and me, young and old, married, single, everybody, to be able to see your way clear ahead,
yes,
to meet your obligations that you incur without upsetting your schedule of living before you incur those obligations.
Amen.
Credit's so easy in these days that if we don't watch, we'll be caught into the snare before we know it. And it's a dollar down and a dollar a week, here, there, this, that, and the first thing you know, we can just fall into those things and have more dollars a week going out than what we have coming in.
That's the truth.
If we're not temperate in the use of our credit. But now, at this point, I want to still deal a little more with the thought of sober, but in regard to something besides money now. Temperate along other lines. And in particular, in the use and the budgeting of our time. Now, a person that is indiscriminate and intemperate in the use of their time and have strong appetites. Now, temperate is defined as a restraining of the appetites. And if a person has strong appetites for one or more different kinds of diversion, recreation, and some people have a strong appetite for visiting, that's good if you visit right. Some visits are very detrimental, but if you visit right, it's good to visit and maintain a togetherness. Some people have a strong appetite for that. Some have a strong appetite for going to town and shopping, and maybe just window shopping. You like to go up and down the street and look and see what's on display, and go in the stores and look around, and people do a lot of that and never buy anything. That's just kind of something they like to do. Well, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with visiting if we visit right. And there's nothing wrong with sleeping. Some people have a strong appetite for sleeping and idleness. And there's not anything wrong with sleeping, resting, provided we got something to rest for. We've been doing something before we sleep, see, and got our chores done up and our work in order. Nothing wrong with that. And some have strong appetites for one thing, some another. Some like to read. I like to read myself. I take mine by spells, kind of. Sometimes I won't read much for quite a little while, and other times I read quite a bit. But some people are just avid readers. They just like to read. Reading's good. And good reading is excellent. But now, if we don't curb these appetites and properly budget our time, we're going to find our chores undone. While we've been out shopping, while we've been reading, while we've been asleep, one thing and another, we're likely to find that the chores are not done, and that the property and premises where we live isn't maintained as they should be, and things kind of begin to take on a rundown appearance around the place, and the house isn't in order, and the children are not properly cared for, and so on. We are likely to find things lacking in the important phases of our lives if we're intemperate and indiscriminate in the use of our time. Now, the Bible says that there's a time for every purpose. And if we properly budget our time, we'll have time to take care of our chores, keep our property in shape, the house in order, the children taken care of, and still have some time to read and maybe some time to visit and some time to sleep and one thing and another. But now he said to teach the young women that they be keepers at home. Says some other things about that, about what to teach them. But they are to be keepers at home. They're not just to be at home, but they're to be keeping that home. They're to be keeping things in proper order around there. Now, Sister Anita Hutchinson said a very interesting thing at the close of the message last Sunday afternoon. She was telling about how up there at the college where she goes, they were talking about what the girls are expected to do with their lives and discussing their future prospects and things and what kind of profession or career or one thing and another that they were going to follow. And she said she just told them she wanted to work in her own home. Well, now that's very interesting, especially in view of the reaction that those girls had to what she said. You remember she said that they kind of made light of that, and they made different remarks about that, and some of them said, Anita doesn't want to work. Now, you know, that indicates something, and that is that those girls who said that are not being taught and trained up in the art of homemaking.
Right.
Now, if those girls were being trained in homemaking, being brought up that way, taught that way, they would have surely known by now that there's plenty of work there too. If a person keeps their home properly, there's going to be plenty of work there. Now, that's the wife's responsibility in the marriage partnership. There's an old saying, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And now, folks, that's pretty well true. The Bible, in describing a virtuous woman in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, it says a number of things about her, but one of the things it says about her is that she looketh well to the needs of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And says her candle doesn't go out by night. She's still working at the night time. And she rises at night and gives a portion to her family and also to her maidens. The woman that takes the proper care of her home and her family is a busy woman. She's not going to have much time to gossip, and she's not going to have much time to walk the streets and win the shop. She'll have time enough to do her necessary shopping to get the needs of life. That's part of running the home. But the responsibility of a wife is to manage that home and to administer proper management to a home is a very responsible place. It's an important matter. Managers in business are people that are supposed to know their business. No doubt they do know their business, or they would never have gotten in that position as a manager. Never been promoted up there. A woman that properly manages a home needs to know her business too. She needs to know how to handle that home. How to take care of it. How to take care of her children. How to properly manage the material substance that her husband earns and brings and puts in her hand. How to handle that. My mother used to say that there were some women that could throw more out the back door in the garbage can than their husbands could bring in at the front door. Just wasteful women. That's bad. But we need to understand our business, whatever it is. And if our business is homemaking, we need to understand that. And the scripture here teaches us to teach this. And the older women to teach the younger women about these things. And how to be keepers at home. Now, if a housewife and mother keeps her house in proper order, swept and garnished, the furniture dusted and polished, the washing and ironing and mending all done up, the meals prepared and the baking done for her family, and her children properly cared for, she's going to be a busy woman. And she's going to be an important woman, and the Bible puts a prize on her. The 31st chapter of Proverbs is God's tribute to a virtuous woman. But in describing her virtuousness, it goes beyond just what we think of the term virtue. It describes her industry, her looking well to the needs of her household, says she doesn't worry about her children in the time of cold because they're all well clothed and warm clothing, properly taken care of, and she stands by her husband. She supports him. Oh, somebody said, I thought the husband supported the wife. Well, financially he does. But if that wife doesn't support him, things still aren't going to go right. And she stands by her husband in his cause. And he says in that 31st chapter of Proverbs that her husband is known when he sits in the gate. She adds some wisdom to him. And she adds some inspiration to him. She's a help to him in his work and in his business. The housewife fills a very responsible place in that marriage partnership. Now, those college girls that Sister Anita spoke about last Sunday, and made rather light of it because she wanted to work in her own home and even said she didn't want to work. Those girls, I'm certain, have never been introduced to the fine art of homemaking. And folks, when you begin to sum up the fine arts, homemaking should stand at the top of the list. It means more to be a homemaker than it does a wife. Any married woman can be a wife, but they don't all know how to make a home. And they don't all know how to keep their house. And how to take care of the children. And how to keep things in order. And the fine art of homemaking should stand at the top of the list in the fine arts, and we should study that. The Bible said, study to show yourself approved unto God. And if we're going to be approved unto God, we need to learn to do things like God would have us do them. And we need to study ways and means to properly fulfill our role and our place in life. I was eating in a restaurant one time, and I looked up and I saw a sign on the wall. It says, keep your wife for a pet and eat here. Well, now that might sound kind of interesting. I see some of the women folks laughing about that. That might sound kind of interesting, but folks, that isn't the way the Bible teaches that. Now, it's all right to pet your wife. You ought to pet her some. And it's all right to take meals out in a restaurant on occasion. You ought to do that too. You took her out to dinner when you was courting her, didn't you? It's all right to take her out to dinner now occasionally. And especially on special occasions, celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, and Mother's Day, and a number of special days we have, why, it's good to just give your wife a break and take her out someplace to eat and have a little vacation with her. That's good, but the Bible doesn't teach the idea of keeping your wife for a pet and eating out in a restaurant. Now, in the overall picture, the Bible teaches that a husband is the provider for the home. That's his end of the marriage partnership. And he is supposed to work and earn the living, bring home the bacon, so to speak, and he is to provide his wife and family with a house to live in, and with food and raiment and shelter and all the necessary things that goes into living, the husband's responsibility is to provide that. Now, the responsibility of a wife, according to God's word, is to make that house that her husband provides for her to live in, make that home. Now, all houses are not homes. People live in them, but living in them doesn't mean much to folks sometimes. The surroundings aren't very pleasant. And it isn't much home. Ed Gray Guest said it takes a heap of living in a house to make it home. And that's what we need, folks, is some living in our houses. And someone else said, what is home without a mother? Well, that's not much home either, is it? And many times, when the mother is gone, when death has taken her, just as long as mother lives, that's home to the children if they're 50 years old, 60, however old they are. That's home, wherever mother is. And many times they will try to congregate there at intervals. Now and then have a family reunion, all going home. That's where mother is. When mother is gone, that isn't home anymore. They don't assemble there anymore. And it doesn't hold the attraction to them that it did. It takes a mother in a home, in a house, to make it home. And it takes a heap of living there, as Edgar Guest says, to make a house a home. Now this is very true, and it is the duty and the privilege of a housewife. Now, housewife, that's a common term, isn't it? Evelyn mentioned here about filling out some kind of a form where she worked. And she put in there, instead of a housewife, a homemaker. Now, I will say to her credit that she's a homemaker. She knows how to take care of a home. And her Uncle Larry Stover told me before we were married, and I was talking with him a little about my projected plans toward Evelyn, and he said, I'll tell you one thing, if you get her, you'll get a good homemaker. And I found it that way. But she filled out her application or her form, and instead of saying housewife, she said homemaker. Now, all housewives aren't homemakers. But the Word of God says in the 14th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy, it says, the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. It seems that God's Word puts the responsibility of the woman managing that home. Now the husband will have a managerial end also, but it's in a different category. But the wife is to manage that home and manage those children. And incidentally, that reminds me of something a brother told me one time. He said they had some children coming up, and he'd heard people, women say, well, now, when your daddy gets home this evening, I'll have him take care of you, when they got out of order. He said to his wife, says, I don't want to ever hear you saying that to these children. Said, you see that they respect you. You see to it that they mind you. Don't tell them that daddy will take care of them when he comes home. You take care of them when they get out of order. And that's proper management of a home and a family. And it is the wife and mother, her duty and her privilege, to make that house that her husband has provided for her to live in a home. And the more attractive she can make that home for her husband and her children, the better it will be. Now, the Bible didn't say this, what I'm going to say now, but I find this will work pretty well. So I'll put this out, just a little extra good measure here. And I feel that the wise, prudent wife, when it's near time for her husband to come home in the evening, she'll have her house in good order. She'll have the litter and the clutter picked up and everything in its place. And his favorite chair arranged, maybe the evening paper there handy. Wouldn't hurt if she'd put a glass of cold water there or a glass of juice or something. And then she'll have herself spruced up a little, fixed up to receive him when he comes home, and have everything in order. Make that man feel that he has someone nice to come home to, and he has a nice place to go when the day's work's done. Now, it'll help your marriage. The Bible didn't say that, but it'll help your marriage. And it'll help things to go better. Now, I do not know where some women get the idea, or why they get it, that they don't owe their husbands anything. That they're his responsibility. He took the responsibility of taking care of her and supporting her and maintaining her, and that's it. I don't owe anything. Now, I have news for you if you have an idea like that. According to God's word, and according to the natural setup of things, you owe your husband just as much as he owes you, but just in a different category and in a different way. And I would say that a husband or wife has no right to exact or expect more from the other than they are willing to do themselves in their particular category and in their way. A wife has no right to require her husband to maintain her and support her and provide a house for her to live in and food and raiment and shelter, a car to ride in, the necessary things of life, if she is unwilling to work and maintain that home, manage that home, keep that home in proper order for him, and to take proper care of his children. And the husband does not have a right to expect his wife to maintain that home and take care of his children if he is unwilling to work and earn the living and provide them with the necessary things to go on to do that. Amen. Now, I say that one of them owes the other just as much as that one owes them, but just in a different category. Now, 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, says, if any do not work, neither shall they eat. Now, what would that mean? Any. That would mean all, wouldn't it? Both men and women. Both husband and wife. If any do not work, neither shall he eat. A husband then, according to that, wouldn't be obligated to support a wife that didn't work and take care of his children and maintain his home, would he? In 1 Timothy, the fifth chapter and the 8th verse, he says, if any man provide not for his own, and especially they of his own house, He's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's his responsibility. That's his end of the marriage partnership. But in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse, it says that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now this indicates that if the woman, the housewife, doesn't come up with her end of the marriage partnership and take proper care of her children and guide her house, it's going to put an occasion there for the adversary to speak reproachfully. In this text, in the 2nd chapter of Titus, he says, the women, the younger women, love their husbands. I read a little book just a while back, and it was along this line, referred to the scripture in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, and whatever else it says about that. You know how that scripture goes. Now he said the woman is not commanded to love her husband. Say, she may hate him. She may despise him. At times she may want to send him out of the house. But she is commanded to reverence and honor him. Well, now, he maybe didn't read this scripture, the man that wrote that book, and said, teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and there are some other texts that teach women to love their husbands. That's mutual, too. One-sided love affair is no good, folks. It's just a bitter experience, a one-sided love affair. The man's required to love his wife's required to love him too. God knew one-sided love affairs didn't work good. So he said, teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if a woman doesn't take proper care of her home and of her children, this scripture indicates that it'll give occasion for blaspheming the word of God. Why? Because the word of God teaches that. And we see by these scriptures that if either partner does not creditably perform his or her part, it will bring discredit on the Christian profession and on the gospel and give occasion to the enemy. Now the Bible does not teach you and me, anybody, big, little, old, young, married, single, wife, husband, whoever they are, the Bible does not teach any of us to expect something for nothing. We both have a part to fill. Amen. In this. And in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 33 and 34, verse 33 says that the husband cares for the things of this world, how he may please his wife. Well, somebody says, that's great. My husband's supposed to just seek how he can please me. But verse 34 says, the wife cares for the things of this world, how she may please her husband. You see, there's something mutual here. The husband seeks to please his wife, and the wife seeks to please her husband. And if they both live that way, They'll get along good. Now let me remind you, this is the final course of this meal along this line. But let me remind you in closing now that you don't have any quarrel with God's Word. God's Word teaches certain things for you and me. But there is no commandment for you to get married if you don't want to get married. You can stay single, maintain your independence, live your own life, go your own way. The Bible doesn't require you to get married. It just brings you under certain responsibilities and duties and regulations if you do.